take your Bibles and go to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. Deuteronomy, chapter number 4. We'll only read one verse tonight. And we'll use this verse as a springboard. Keep your Bibles ready. Going to use our Bibles just a little bit tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. This time of the year, honestly, can be the most enjoyable time of the year as a child. But as you get older, for some reason, my wife and I were talking, and then even Miss Chris and I this morning or this evening were talking, and she did not even know I was going to say anything about it. But as you get older, this time of the year can be difficult. You start to remember family that's not with us anymore. You start to have a lot of difficulties enjoying the holidays if you're not careful. In fact, this time of the year, you're going to find out that there's more suicides on average than any other time of the year. And because of the problems that people are facing, those problems, they overwhelm them. And these problems were not meant to overwhelm them. God does not allow things into our life to overwhelm us. He brings those things into our life to make us better. Tonight I want to read Deuteronomy chapter number 4 and verse number 20. I'll read it aloud. You just follow there along silently if you will. But the Lord hath taken you and hath brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance as ye are this day. The middle of that verse I was reading one day, and a thought struck me, and from this thought we'll get the message of this evening. Out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt. The title of this evening's message is, your burdens can be your biggest blessings, or they can be your biggest excuse. Right. Your burdens can be your biggest blessing, or they can be your biggest excuse. Let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we do thank you. Lord, it's not always easy, Lord, to face those things that you've called us to face, and Lord, dealing with the difficulties that you have. But Lord, you have promises in your word for us, Lord, that if we are obedient to you, Lord, we become better because of what you have put in our path, Lord, have called us to handle. Lord, tonight, please speak through me. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. Lord, please do something that I cannot do. Speak to the hearts, heal, touch, encourage, and strengthen. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 4, it's a bit of an exciting time and it's a bit of a scary time. Moses knows he's about to die. God has promised him that he would not go into the land of Canaan. The children of Israel who did not disobey are knocking on the doorstep of going into this promised land. Moses is about to die. Joshua is about to take those into the promised land. And in verse number 20 of chapter number 4, right in the middle of all the things that God has promised and all the commandments that God is going to restate for the children of Israel, notice that Moses is not going to stand up and discuss all of the miracles that they've experienced in the wilderness. He's not going to talk about the quail. He's not going to talk about the water. In fact, he does not even give an encouraging pep talk. In fact, the only thing he does, to be honest with you, is mention, humanly speaking, probably one of the darkest days of the children of Israel. Oddly enough, in this time of excitement, he kind of calms the crowd and reminds them of a very dark day. He says, do you remember the iron furnace? Do you remember Egypt? He reminds them of the slavery that they faced, those 480 years of slavery. He then also will go on to remind them of the sin that they committed. He reminds them of all the complaining. He reminds them of the idolatry and the rebellion that they faced at the beginning parts and throughout the wilderness. He then goes on and he reminds them in the end of this verse about the salvation of the Lord. He reminds them of how God delivered them from this iron furnace. He reminds them of God's forgiveness. He says, hey, you remember all that you did, but yet God forgave you? Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 20. Moses takes, and in one little phrase, he uses the worst time of Israel's history as a springboard to help them become successful in Canaan land. He tells them that it is an iron furnace. What does the Bible have to say about a furnace? Go to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Moses, standing there in front of the children of Israel, says, "The Lord has brought you forth out of an iron furnace. I want to remind you of those dark days of your history. I want to remind you of the struggles that you faced." And in Job chapter 23, beginning in verse number 8, look what the Bible says. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there." You will never find God ahead of your problems. You can try to outrun your problems, but you're going to outrun God and be left alone. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him." Notice it doesn't say he's not there. He says, "I just can't perceive him." Verse number 9. "On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him." But look at verse number 10. And this is such a comforting thought. "But he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Here we find Job speaking in a very difficult time of his life. He's lost his family. He's lost his friends. He's lost everything, humanly speaking, that he owns. And he says that, "I looked ahead and God wasn't there. I looked to my left hand, I didn't see him. I looked to my right hand and God hid himself. But I know that God knows where I'm at. I've seen what God has done in the past. And even though I can't see through the veil of tears in my present, God knows the way that I'm taking."
Yes, sir. Right.
"He knows. And when he's done trying me, I'll come forth as gold."
Amen.
What an attitude. Job is in the fire. He is in that furnace. Israel was in that iron furnace. But Israel, let me tell you, God knows the way that you're about to take.
Right.
And when he's done with you, it won't be easy. It won't be necessarily the most enjoyable time of your life. But when you're done, you'll be gold. What is the purpose of a furnace? The purpose of a furnace is to purify. So that gold was put in the fire and it was heated up. The dirt, or what we would call the dross, would rise to the top and it would scrape it off. And the gold would be cooled down again and it would be placed back in the furnace and the impurities would rise again and it would be scraped. And this process would be repeated till the one working the gold was satisfied. See, there are times in our life where God's got to put us through the furnace to remove some things that are unpleasant to him. The furnace also does not just purify, but it makes pliable. You, those that work with metal or steel, if you want to get a piece of metal to do something, you heat it up and it becomes very moldable. Oftentimes in our life, this furnace we will be placed in may not just be to purify us, but it will also to make us pliable. And the furnace will also prepare us to be used for him. Many times Christians want to blame God for this furnace. We stand there and we shake our finger and we blame God for putting us into this furnace. But the reason God did it was to make us more useful for him. Do you remember the day when you were sitting in church and God tugged on your heart? And you said, "God, I want to do more for you." Well, he's answered your prayer. He's putting you in the furnace so you can do more for him. Too many Christians spend their time in the furnace trying to find a way out, instead of, while in the furnace, using this time to get closer to God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown in the fiery furnace, and it was there that they came face to face with God. Moses, on Mount Sinai, amidst the lightning and the heat and the thunder, it was there where he came face to face with God. Many times in people's life, when they face the furnace, if they are paying attention, it is there where they will be able to come face to face with God. But so many Christians are blaming God instead of looking for an opportunity to get closer to God. Moses reminded the children of Israel about their sins, their past failures and their heartaches, not to discourage them, but to remind them of the purpose of the furnace. Christians today, they want to use their past failures as an excuse as to why they can't serve God. Christians today want to use their present dilemma as an excuse as to why they can't do more for God. Your burdens will either be your biggest blessings, or your burdens will be your biggest excuse. Only you can decide which. I have 3 points tonight and we'll be done. Number one, your burden can be your biggest blessing because it reminds you of who you are. Your burdens can be your biggest blessing because it reminds you of who you are. How many of you would be as close to God as you are if you had not faced those difficult times? If I look back in my younger years and as we've been married, if I look at those difficult times, no, they were not fun, and no, I did not enjoy them. But when I got done with that burden, I looked back and I realized how close to God that I had became. You can allow your burden to drive you closer to Him, or you can allow your burden to be used as an excuse as to why you can't do what God has called you to do. My burden keeps before me my need of Him. See, we as human beings, there's a reason God compares us to sheep. We're not very bright.
Amen.
Those of you that have reared young ones, you know they're not very bright because you tell them not to do something, they do it, they get hurt, and what is the first thing you want to do? They want to go back and do it again.
Yep.
Not very bright. When we get older, we may become more mature as adults, but if we're not careful in our spiritual life, we still do the same exact thing. We come to a problem and we say, God, help me, I'm sorry, forgive me, and He helps us, and then we go back within days of doing the same thing again. Look at the children of Israel. How many times did they make the same mistake? Over and over and over and over again. They didn't learn from their furnace. My burdens can become my biggest blessing because they can remind me of how weak I really am. My burdens can remind me of how lack of wisdom that I possess and how much I need God's wisdom that He's given me in His Word. My burdens will remind me those failures in my life. They will remind me of God's forgiveness and how much that I need God in my life. Sometimes we just need those difficult times to remind us just as much how we need God. It is those difficult times that force us not to trust in our own ability to solve a problem, but it is when we are lying flat on our back, whether it's because of our own mistake or whether it's just the circumstance we have found ourselves in, it is when we are lying flat on our back that our eyes gaze upon the One and we finally realize He is the answer to my solution. He is the answer to my problem, and He is all I need. Number one, your burdens can be your biggest blessing because they remind you of who you are. Number two, your burden can be your biggest blessing because they remind you of who God is. Your burdens can be your biggest blessing because they remind you of who God is. It is when I face those burdens, not only do I come face to face in the mirror of my inability, but I look past my own ability and I begin to see God's ability. He does not always give me what I think I want, but He always gives me what He knows is best.
Amen.
There were times in my life when I looked at an opportunity and I said, that's what I need right there. That's what I need in my life. There were times in our marriage when we looked at something and we said, that's what we need in our life. We've come through the difficult times and we realized maybe that's not what we needed. Or that's what we needed, that's not what we wanted. There were times in the children of Israel, if you look at the story when the children of Israel first leave Egypt, there's a very interesting verse where He says, He led them not by the way, talking about the coastal view. There was a much quicker way to get to Canaan land. If you look at the geography of Israel and where Egypt was at, all they had to do was go right up the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and they are in what we would call the promised land. God said, though, He did not lead them that way. Why not, God? There was water, plenteous. There was civilization to trade with. There was plenty of food. It was not nearly as rugged, as rocky, or as hot as what we would have faced in the desert. They wanted to go the other way, they thought. But just a couple verses later, they said, lest they repent. You see, there was a civil war taking place. And if they would have walked through that civil war, they were not ready for battle yet. They were untrained in warfare. You see, they would have been confused. They would have seen all the gods of the Philistines. They just left Egypt with all the gods of the Egyptians. And here they're told by a man that we're going to follow the true God that you can't see. They would have been confused. You see, they needed that time in the wilderness to learn to trust God. They needed that time to learn to trust God for the simple things in life, such as food and water and raiment. You see, oftentimes we think we know what we want, but God gives us what we need. Amen. They would not have been able to experience the blessings of God. That furnace of the wilderness was not enjoyable. But how many people would not have been able to see those miracles that God performed if they had not been there?
Right.
See, it's oftentimes in those places you wish you weren't when God is able to show up and show you something you never imagined you'd ever be able to see.
Amen.
You see, through my burden, not only does He show me that He knows what is best, but He shows me that His way is best. You see, God sees the big picture.
Right.
You and I were tunnel vision. We only see our own pocketbook. We only see our own needs of our personal family. We don't see the needs of the person across the street. We don't see the needs of that lost person on the other side of town that we might be able to help. You see, God sees the big picture. And I must realize that I am only a small piece in the giant puzzle of God's plan. So therefore, I must learn to trust that plan that He has for me. You see, Mary and Martha, they wanted Jesus to heal Lazarus. And Jesus was late by their standards. Oh, but He was right on time. He said, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. God, if you would have just answered my prayer, I would not have had to face any of this. Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection. Let me show you what I can do. You see, God raised Lazarus from the dead so that way when He Himself died, the disciples, Mary and Martha, could be comforted in knowing that God was the resurrection.
Amen.
You see, there's times in our life where we face a difficulty. And God has put us through this, not to be mean or cruel to us, but so that way we learn who He really is. And so that way we can understand what His ability is to provide for us. Number one, your burdens can be your biggest blessing because they remind you of who you are. Number two, your burdens can be your biggest blessings because they remind you of who God is. And lastly, number three, your burdens can be your biggest blessings because they remind you of God's plan for your life. My burdens are there to, number one, purify me so I can be more valuable. As the heat in that furnace would heat up the gold and draw out those impurities in my life, there are things that are just so deeply embedded in my life that even if I wanted to get rid of them, they would not come out on their own. So God places me in this furnace, and the heat of that difficulty will draw out those impurities and allow me to get closer to Him. We read in Job 23:10, but He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Do you want to be something unique? Do you want to have a special relationship with God? Do you really want to get close to God? If you read the Bible, those that were closest to God went through some of the most difficult trials imaginable. There came a time in my life as a young pastor where I knelt down and I said, oh God, I want You to do something in my life. God, I need You to use me. And there was a difficulty that my wife and I would then progress to face. And I could not have even imagined. And I sat down one night and said, God, I was willing to give You everything. Why did You have to take that? And He looked back at me and said, do you really want to do something for me? Do you really want to be used for me? And there were people by the hundreds we have been able to help because of this difficulty. There are burdens in our life, but not to ruin us, but to purify us. The burdens in my life are to purge me so I can bear more fruit. Go to John chapter 15, the Gospel of John. John chapter 15 and verse number 2. John chapter 15 and verse number 2. The burdens are in my life to purify me. The burdens are in my life to purge me so I can bear more fruit. Those of you that are farmers, you understand the concept. You gardeners, you understand the concept of taking the flower, taking the plant that has blossomed all year long, and just before wintertime, what do? You chop it off. You cut it right back down to the ground. And the apple trees, they'll go through and they will cut unfruitful branches so that way the nutrients the next year will go to branches that are producing fruit. Look what the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse number 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. No wonder Paul could say, I glory in mine infirmities. You see, Paul looked at those furnaces that he was facing. Paul looked at those burdens and those difficulties in his life, and he says, I must mean something to God. How come is it when something goes bad, we think that we're nothing? You see, God chastens those whom he loves.
Amen.
God purges those who can do something for him. So if you're facing a difficulty in your life, it's not because you're a nobody. It's because God wants to make you a somebody. My burdens are there to purge me so I can become more fruitful. If I am being purged, then there's a special need. There's a special purpose that I can fulfill for him. In Psalms 119, in verse number 71, the psalmist pens, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I may have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. How many times have we desired to learn something from God's word? How many times have we learned and asked God to grow or, Lord, increase our faith? Hey, God, help me to learn to rely on you. Hey, God, I don't understand this verse. Within the next couple of weeks, something happens that is not tasteful to our human flesh. But then we go back to our devotions and we go, oh, well, that's what that was for. Well, that's the purpose of that. The psalmist said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Well, there's some things in here, Lord, that I want to learn. He said, it was good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You see, those of you that have ever done any shipping of any sort, you've been on the water for any amount of time at all, you have faced turbulence in the ocean. Everybody knows that a boat's got an anchor, but you really don't appreciate it until you need it. And then during that storm, when that anchor is, we just sang the song, my anchor holds, when we throw that anchor out, and in the third verse, we didn't sing it, the songwriter talks about, I can't see the anchor. All I see is the strain and the stress between the rope. All I see is the boisterous winds between the anchor and between my ship. But that thing is still there. And I know it's holding fast. You see, a sailor on a ship knows that the ship has an anchor. But when the storm comes, they start to appreciate that anchor. And they're going to trust that it's going to do its job even though they can't see it. In your life, you're going to find yourself on the seas. You're going to find yourself being tossed to and fro. And you're going to toss out that anchor and you're going to find that it lands solid on a rock. And that anchor will hold. You see, when I come through a burden and I am able to look back, I didn't see where I was going when I was in the burden. I didn't understand why I was facing it. But as I got through the difficulty and as the clouds begin to clear, as I look back at the storm that I have just come through, as I begin to look at that deep valley that I have just come through, I look back and I see how I've grown. Then I look ahead and I see another struggle. And I'm not as nervous for this one, although it's bigger. This mountain seems a little higher. The thunder seems a little louder. The sea seems a little bit more boisterous. But I am able to look back at my previous trial and understand that God was there for me then. He'll be there for me again. I can face it.
That's good.
You see, in school, the student is very boisterous with what he knows. I only taught for several years, but boy, it's amazing when those kids in study hall, are you ready for your test tomorrow? Oh, I'm ready. And one time I reached down in my drawer and I pulled out the test they were about to take tomorrow, and I walked over to his desk, I closed his books up, and I handed it to him. I said, "Okay, go ahead and take it." His eyeballs got this big, and he said, "I'm not ready for it." You see, sometimes those tests come into our life so God can learn what we know. My burdens are there to prove my love for Him. Look at Psalms 142. "The purpose of my burdens are to purify me. They purge me, and then they are there so I can prove my love to Him." Look at Psalms 142, look at verse number 3. "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path." You see, when God brings those difficulties into our life, it is then when God finds out what path we're going to take. Anybody can love God when there's money in the bank. It's easy to love God when you're feeling good. It's easy to love God when you're on the mountaintop. But when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then He found out my love for Him. Look at verse number 5. "I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." You see, it is when you're overwhelmed that you find out how much you need God. And the last purpose for our burden is to praise Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9, Paul pens, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." I like this. "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities." Why? "That the power of Christ may rest upon me." In verse number 10, "Therefore I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You see, the world looks at a Christian, and they see the smiles on our faces when it's going good. And we are a testimony to them. But you want to know when you are the greatest testimony to the world? When you are facing the most difficult time and you are still able to stand there and say, "Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him." Amen. It is when you're facing the greatest difficulties that that lost family member will then look at the grace of God on your life, and they will begin to then understand how big your God really is. I am to praise God at all times, not just when it's good. We are to praise God at all times, even when it looks bad or inconvenient for us. In Psalms 105, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name and make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wonderful works." You see, in order to need something from God, you must first have a need. In order for the centurion to first have must needed a healing from God, there must first have been an illness. Every negative in our life is always followed by a positive if we trust God. It was Abraham who found out that when he tried to make his own way, that turmoil came into his life. He said, "I don't know if God can give me a child in my own age." And difficulties and extra unneeded pressures came into his life because he took matters into his own hands. Job was sitting in the dump in the ash heap. "He knoweth the way. I don't know the way, but He does." And he was willing to trust God to get him through that difficulty. Amen. Don't allow, Christian, the devil to take what God meant for good and use it for bad. Be thankful for the burdens, because they are the biggest blessings. "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame." That joy that was set before Jesus Christ. You and I believe as He was on that cross, I was the joy that was set before Him. He was there to please His Father, yes, and to make amends for the sin of mankind. But while He was on the cross, I was on His mind. He was that joy, that burden, that cross that He was carrying was set before Him. He set that joy before Him and He made it through. In Psalms 105, He spreads a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river, for he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. And he brought forth his people with joy and with chosen with gladness. And he gave them the lands of the heathen and the inheritance, the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes. Your biggest blessings, or sorry, your biggest burdens will either be your biggest burden or your biggest blessings, or they will become your biggest excuse. Your burdens are there to remind you of who God is. Your burdens are there to remind you of who you are and of what God's plan is for you. Don't waste your life looking down at the problem when you can live your life looking up at the solution. Do not allow past difficulties that God has brought into your life. Do not allow those things to hurt you. He has brought those things into your life to help you. We started off the service by looking at how many difficult memories some of us can have at this time of the year. As we sit around the Thanksgiving table, we might be reminded of those that aren't there. And as we go through this time of year, we might be hurt by family that no longer is as close to us as we would like. This time of the year, we're supposed to be the most grateful, but it can oftentimes be the hardest time to express our gratitude because of those difficulties we faced. As you face your burdens in life, as Job said, I am in this furnace, I am in this fire, but he knows the path that I've taken. As Moses told the people of Israel, he brought you forth from an iron furnace. Your burdens will either be your biggest blessings, or they will be your biggest excuse. Which will it be? Every head bowed and every eye closed. This evening's message was not one of salvation, although if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you need to get that taken care of. Tonight's message was not bombastic, but the truth, I believe, can help you. Some of you have been struggling with difficulties in your life. You've been struggling with a burden. Nobody knows what it is, and you weren't sure how to deal with it. But tonight, you saw a truth that could help you. Do not allow those burdens to be used as an excuse. Allow them to become a blessing to you and to somebody else.